As I leave the stage, I would like to bring onto the stage someone very important. As we open this conference tonight, we are also proud to have with us a very significant part of the living legacy of Alhaj Malik El-Shabazz, and that's Dr. Betty Shabazz, the widow of Malcolm X. Dr. Shabazz is a dynamic woman, as you will soon see. She's a caring woman, she's a strong woman, she's a career woman. She is not only a registered nurse and a specialist in public health administration, but she has a PhD in higher education administration. She has been for many years an integral part of the Medgar Evers Community College family. She has been an associate professor there. She has been the director of institutional advancement and the director of communications and public relations for Medgar Evers. As she comes with us tonight, we are very proud to have her because she has indeed kept the faith and continued to work for social justice. She is active in many organizations and has been honored and celebrated for her outstanding civic work. But I believe one of the things that may paint the best picture of Dr. Shabazz is the fact that she has reared six children into adulthood at the same time that she was accomplishing and serving the purpose of social justice and the community. So I'm proud to present to you tonight Dr. Betty Shabazz.
Thank you very much. I am certainly delighted to be here. And I was sitting in the back trying to make a note or two so that I could say something that was useful and to the point. But first, I would like to thank Brother Al Kalamount. Where is he? Don't do that. Let's give him a hand. And all of his helpers, and to Dr. Kapner, and to Dr. Davis, who is president of York College. She is someplace around here. Raise your hand. Where is she? Okay. To a lady that all of us owe a great debt to, Dr. Adelaide Sanford. We call her Regent Sanford. Please give her. Let me just say that I heard Brother Al Kalamount talking about Malcolm and talking about a radical tradition. Let me just say to you that I think we need to re-examine the word radical and understand the implications of Malcolm being radical, if he was indeed radical, which I understand that someone will deal with this weekend. But when you look at where we are, when you understand that we live in a high-tech society, and yet the majority of our people cannot feed themselves. When you look at that continuum from slight to advance, and we are always to the extreme left of the center, where the high-tech or the developed people around the world are always at the extreme right. The only way we are going to move from zero or one or two over to 7, 8, and 9, 10 is to do what? To be radical, to be extreme. And you have to look at the conditions of our people during the 60s. And make an evaluation of Malcolm. I just came back from South Africa with our mayor, Mayor Dinkin. And what we found in South Africa was devastating. We lived in a hotel that was better than the Waldorf Astoria. Each committee had a van, and these were top-of-the-line vans. You push buttons, and something would come forward or go backwards. I've not seen vans like that in the United States. And we all got in our up-to-date vans, our top-of-the-line vans, and visited a squatter's camp where in these communities you might have 50,000 or 300,000 or 3 million. And their crudely built houses consist of a room the size of our bedrooms. No sewage, no running water, no indoor toilets, no electricity, a man and a wife, and how many kids he have or they have live in this little one room, crude building. And they leave there every day and get on a bus and go to some home with rolling lawns, running water, indoor plumbing. The only way you're going to change a condition like that is what? You got to be radical. You've got to be focused. You've got to be disciplined. You've got to be aware. You've got to be integral. And that was Malcolm. Somebody was telling me about a book written by some white brother where he has superimposed his perversion on Malcolm. No, you can applaud on that one, and I'll help you. Superimposed his perversion on Malcolm. I said, I've seen everything. We must not get off of our course. All people who are aware of what is happening in the world, we have to stay focused. We must still answer and find out who we are, where we're going, what part we will play on this global stage. Must we forever and ever and ever be on the extreme end of the continuum? Without food, Bedouins traveling, without housing, and without our own minds. We have to understand that we have a responsibility, and no one is going to do it for you. If you want a better life, you must do it for yourself. And people didn't like Malcolm for that. They said he was too serious, that he needed to loosen up. They said he taught hate, and a whole sundry of things that was totally untrue. But as we travel throughout this world, the only relevant thing that is happening today is the resurgence of Malcolm. Someone said to me the other day, well, you know, the youngsters are wearing t-shirts and hats and they really don't know him. Don't you think that's a bit trivial? Since when, if you pick up a book, do you go to the last chapter? Don't you read the preface and the introduction first? They feel a kinship to Malcolm. I think one of the best things that ever happened to me in my life was, number one, that I met Malcolm, that I got to know Malcolm, that I married Malcolm, and that I lived with Malcolm, in that order. I mean, you can have whatever order you want. I'm not saying that you have to have a certain order. Please understand me. But that was the order. And that's what we did mostly in the 60s. There's a new system today. But let me just say to you, as Malcolm perhaps would say, that you have to be your own best friend. That you have to think for yourself, and that you have a responsibility not just to yourself, but to your ancestors. You have a responsibility to and for them, because they sacrificed so much for us to be in the position we're in today. And then you have to take responsibility for your future. And you have to make some plans for the generations yet unborn. That is civilization. We just cannot live and let it all hang out and make no preparations. Every person for himself. You cannot do that and be considered part of the civilized world. And I am standing before you tonight, very grateful to be able to stand before you, because a lot of different people reached out to me and made sure that not only did I have food to eat, but that I had a place to stay. And a lot of the people don't look like the majority of us in this room. And one of the things I can say is that when someone hands you a rope, and if you have seen your husband run all over the country for a year and a half, if your house has been bombed, if you are staying with friends, and if he is finally assassinated, and if you are a mother of four children, and if you are pregnant with two more, and someone hands you a rope, the only thing is you thank God that somebody was sensitive enough to hand you a rope so that you can climb back on level ground. And I'm not saying to you that I'm on level ground, but I certainly am in far better position than a lot of people that I see. And I have to be grateful, do I not? Because but for the grace of God, that could have been me. When I see young women with babies and troubled and don't know where to go, and there are no resources, I understand. When I see sisters in the street on drugs, I said, if I did not have Malcolm to help me understand what discipline meant and what being focused means, that could have been me. And when I see women that are homeless, I think that could have been me. And people reached out to me, people that today in this world cannot get along with each other, they reached out to me. So that I'm kind of torn. I know where my responsibilities are, but I also know who reached out to me. So that I'm saying to you, we have a responsibility to reach out, and we have a responsibility to deal with our own space in the time that we have. And I say to you, what I saw in South Africa should not happen to animals. Even animals have more right than a lot of human beings. There are youngsters that the word school is just a word. 2, 3, and 4 generations living in squatters' camps that have never gone to school. In a land of plenty, one of the richest countries on earth. And they say Malcolm taught hate. Why, they teach those people that they are lower than animals. And that as black people, they should not at any time try to live as other people live. In their own country, somebody's got to have mercy. And somebody has got to be focused. And somebody must be aware. Let it start with you. Look to the person to your left and to your right, and let's say, let's get started. Let's be responsible. Please do it now. Let's get started, and let's be responsible. And let's do it now. Let me just close. We have to share. We have to be responsible. And we must not be greedy. We cannot touch things that don't belong to us. That's why South Africa isn't a problem, having problems today. A country that had no right gave them a lease for 99 years. And when the lease was up, they didn't want to go. Did not Hong Kong, didn't they have a lease for 99 years? And it will be up in the next 6 or 7 years. And the territory goes back to China, does it not? It was the same sort of thing. But there is a tall giant among those individuals that live in those camps. And he is so integral that he says he wants a non-racist, non-sexist society. Born and reared in that squallow. This great humanitarian, and there are millions of him, millions like him there and all over the world. And we must ascend to our rightful level. Thank you very much. Know that this is my brother. I don't care what you read in Amsterdam News. This is my brother. Hey, it's my brother. And Bill Sales with you. And El Kalamat, we had a discussion in Albany at the Black and Hispanic Caucus. And we made a pledge that we would do this and that and the other and the other. And we all got busy and we ceased to communicate. We are still good people, are we not?
That's
That's right. And you must always communicate. And we stopped communicating. And he went his way, and I went my way, and now we are back together. Thank you very much. Okay.